Well, the whole world is filled with speculation. The whole wide world, which people say is round, they will tear your mind from contemplation. They'll jump on your misfortune when you're down. And that's why I ain't talking, I'm just walking. I'll burn that bridge before you can cross.
Okay, I know we have to go on the air, but I could listen to that music all morning long. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Oh, my goodness, do we have a lot to talk about. I think I've been saying that for a long time, but yesterday was quite a day. So it is really something to behold, and we will try to make our way through it and talk about it this morning. We welcome you. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. All right. Let us begin with our introductions. Alan Chartok, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chief.
It's good to see you, sir, as always. We also welcome Ira Fussville, Daily Freeman Publisher Emeritus. Good morning, sir. How
good
are you?
Good morning, Joe and everyone. Nice to see everybody.
Very nice to have you here. Rosemary Armeo joins us, investigative journalist, UAlbany Adjunct Professor of Journalism. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I hope you will all join me in welcoming a brand new panelist to the program. We are thrilled to have C.G. Dodds with us. She is an assistant professor of law at the Albany Law School. She teaches Introduction to Lawyering, came to Albany Law School just last April.
Yes.
And Rosemary, can you just push that one, that mic 5 over to CG?
I should have to almost eat it.
I said, first time people should know that the first break is around 9:30, so you can escape then. So
okay. Like, yeah, that's right.
Is that
yeah.
my one out?
Yes, when the one T ends after that.
You're on the faculty of the University of the District of Columbia, David Clark School of Law, and taught courses in legal writing and academic success programs. And so you have a lot to offer here, and we are thrilled that you are with us. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, let us begin now that we have properly introduced everyone. Let us talk about what happened last night. The main story, I think the big story that came out, was the president's address to the nation from the Oval Office, and it was 11 minutes long, and it seemed longer, though, didn't it? I don't know. So he announced a travel ban from most of Europe.
But not UK.
But not UK, not
where he has businesses.
Or Ireland, where he has businesses. And also, it was strange because the ban originally made it sound as though Americans couldn't travel, but that is not true. That had to be cleaned up. Also, there was the statement made about no copays regarding coronavirus, just no copays for the testing, not for any subsequent treatments or so forth. So that also had to be cleaned up in the after the national address. When I say cleaned up, that was in a matter of
there's also cargo
through
too.
Tweets.
Don't forget that
cargo
one.
And trade.
One. Yeah.
Cargo
think,
and trade.
Think about that for a second. There's so much to say about that speech, but the very fact that a presidential speech of that magnitude had that many holes in it doesn't anybody. We would say in the newspaper business, isn't there a copy editor
isn't there
somewhere?
An editor around?
A
fact
well, we
checker?
We heard the three people responsible for that speech were Donald Trump, Stephen Miller, Jared Kushner.
Hmm. And I don't believe I would hire them to my city desk, would you?
No, definitely not.
No. I feel weird bringing this up, but I'm going to bring it up just to get it out of the way more than any other reason. But I don't know if, like you, it was a weird address because he seemed so off. I know we'll get letters on this, and I'm sorry, but he wasn't finishing words. He was seemed to be have trouble speaking and communicating. Rosemary, help me out with more plain language.
Yeah, he looked like a deer in the headlight. He
I believe
always,
Ira used that phrase.
Yeah, he, hostage yeah. tape.
He always does look off when he's reading from the teleprompter rather than speaking off the top of his head. But this was a little bit different, and I attributed it to he's reading prepared remarks, and it isn't anything he wanted to say. He had to be aware that he's backtracking from his former very confident stand.
I think he recognized the gravity of the situation. situation. And I also think he also recognized how big of a mistake he made in sort of diminishing the seriousness of this. And I think he realized that people were going to really call him to the carpet on this.
Well, also, he has dementia, and that's a problem for him to
well,
deal
you
with.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk,
we can't say that if Biden is...
I actually wanted to speak to that, because the new Republican trope is on Biden is that he has dementia, and they're spreading it. We're getting those letters right here in the morning and the rest of it, because he confused a cousin or he confused this or that. But, you know, this is very dangerous territory for Trump to go into, because he does it all the time. And therefore, it could come back and bite him in the posterior.
The reliable sources, the CNN media criticism program, has for months been talking about how irresponsible the press is trying to cover his mental well-being, because it's hard. It looks partisan. And yet it is of the utmost concern to Americans, the mental health of their president, of their leaders.
Also, I think it's worth noting, and to Suji's point, that yes, there was trying to he tried. It seemed like he was trying. They said, "Look, you have to seem serious because there's the gravity of this problem." But testing wasn't mentioned. The lack of testing wasn't talked about. It was more economic than it was social. Two things were happening as he was talking, stories were breaking all over the place. There was the Dow futures you could just watch plunge as he was talking, especially the airline stocks. We find out as he's talking that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson have coronavirus, which is, you could put a face on it now for people who could not before. And also, the NBA announces that they're suspending their entire season. All of this in the 15 minutes that the president was on the television.
All true. Ira and I had a little bit of a discussion as to the president, because I think that the one thing that people should be remembering and yelling again and again and again is that this president said that this whole thing was a Democratic hoax. Mm-hmm. Now, Ira has an explanation for that, which I'm not buying. Nevertheless,
let's start from the. I am not defending Trump. I'm just trying to explain what I believe it is that he said to defend himself, which was that the hoax was not the virus, the existence of the virus. The Democratic hoax was the Democrats trying to use the virus politically against him, much in the same manner as the Democrats, he alleged, tried to use the Mueller report and impeachment as a political move.
But
would you buy that? He was not. Well, I don't believe a word the man says. So if he could tell me tomorrow is Friday, and I'd have to look at the calendar to be sure. So
I think it's true. The Democrats are. I am. We are here in this show.
Well, yes, but that's the nature of democracy, right, Rosemary?
But it's different than saying
he's an incompetent leader and proven it.
But he's not saying the virus is a hoax. Clearly, it's not.
Well, it's unclear as to what he was saying.
You know, well, I think there was a degree of saying that the seriousness of the virus was a hoax, and I think that's the problematic component to it, because both sides have politicized it, right? Because everybody has opinions about his competency as a president. But when you use the word hoax, you are saying that something is not true, that something is fraudulent. And I think that's the issue with the word hoax.
You know, you are a wonderful addition to this panel.
You agreed with Alan, man. You're in.
You're in.
You're going to have a parking place by the end of the show.
I want to add that it's more than the president. It's the president's surrogates, including lovely Rush Limbaugh, who's continuing to say it is a hoax.
It's
and
just
they are
cold.
Saying it's worse than that. It's something the Chinese brought
well,
in.
Well, and
like
Hannity,
it's racist.
Hannity is at the Times had a piece
one.
On this yesterday. I have to. I do agree with Alan on this, because they've continually said that it's a hoax. He was leading people in a chant that it was a hoax at a rally a week ago. And also, you're blaming President Obama on the hoax. It just seems to all filter in, and especially if it wasn't followed by the words up until what was just 2 days ago when he said, this is going to go away. It'll get better. It's going to happen very fast, and nothing is going to go wrong.
So what's really going on here? This president, who is counting on the stock market to get him through is done on that. Okay.
Wow.
So that's number one. Number two, he understands that they have not been, his group has not been able to handle this. He throws it to Pence, figuring Pence will take all the blame. But in fact, Pence gives a relative, I'm sorry, folks, I understand, a relatively good performance where he is. And therefore, you see him say, well, I want some of that, and comes on the air, you know, 2 days later. So this president is in real trouble as a result of the virus, and that poor performance last night is a good example of it. He's in real trouble on the economy.
Well, and also of just understanding the gravity of the situation. I mean, anything that you watch, I mean, that was the juxtaposition of seeing him say, okay, we're going to take these measures, which are, I mean, are serious, but they're not what we were hoping for. As I think many in the health profession were hoping for, as far as helping get tests to people. New Rochelle doesn't have a mayor, but it has an executive.
Does it have a mayor?
Yeah. So whoever's in charge of that was on NBC yesterday and was talking, and he was asked, do you have what is your testing capability? And he said, we have not received the test yet.
Jeez.
And they said, so you're like ground zero, other than Washington State, you are ground zero on the East Coast. Why are you not getting tests? And he said, I have no idea. It's a question that the governor is asking the president and the CDC every day.
Which raises an interesting question, Joe, which is that the other way he was trying to avoid this was to throw it on to the governors. And he said the governors are supposed to be handling this, not the president. So up comes Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo. He's been on 5, 6, 7 times a day everywhere, giving every piece of information he can, looking great in comparison with this president.
Yeah, that must annoy him. Many of the governors are outclassing him. Inslee in Washington.
Who
the
he called
guy from
a
Illinois
snake.
Is all over. Yeah. I can't remember his name now. So
Pritzker,
he's all over.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he called him a snake. But his vice president complimented the governor on how
Pence did.
Pence says that he has a regular conversation with all of the governors. He said that he talked with Governor Cuomo yesterday. He talked with Governor Inslee yesterday. He's been in constant communication. He's made those statements. He's trying to work with the governors and trying to give them ultimately what they need. But are they getting it is the question. And according to at least Governor Cuomo on this program and others, the answer is no.
And you never know who's going to be a star as a result of something like this. So now you have, when you look at that very distinguished panel that has been established by the vice president, one of them stands out.
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
And why is he standing out? Because he has expertise and he's able to do it.
But
I remember the Watergate hearings when unlikely people like Peter Rodino and others who were, you know, nothings in the Congress, stood up and they became very famous.
Adam Schiff, most recently.
Sure.
What is it about, but you mentioned that still with Fauci. Fauci went to Capitol Hill yesterday and made it sound, he said, this is going to get a lot worse. Said that. It's going to get a lot worse. Should we have mass gatherings? No, we shouldn't have mass gatherings. He made very, very clear points that were never addressed last night in the address.
Mass gathering.
I found it more remarkable that Pence actually admitted in an interview that there has been some maybe careless rhetoric in the past, which, of course, is the boss. He's never criticized, even indirectly,
Well, every
Trump
interview
before.
Pence does now always says, under the president's expert direction.
He's very careful about
the great leadership of our president.
Yeah. But, you know, just step back and think about that speech as you watch that speech. And we have to remind ourselves what we expected. I mean, Trump clearly is not somebody who caused this disease, and he is, you know, you can only criticize him so much as the disease spreads. What you're looking for in a president is not what we got from him last night, which was a sense of competency, a sense of leadership, a sense of the ability to discuss things and treat the American public.
We didn't get that,
We
right?
did not get yes. that. I mean, the kinds of things that Fossey said are the kinds of things that Trump should be saying, that he should play square business with the public. And I mean Anthony Fauci, not Bob Fauci.
Yeah, Fauci. Fauci. F-A-U-C-I, right?
Fauci. Not the dancer?
I'm not sure. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Trump is daring to dancing.
Well, I think the lack of transparency is more dangerous. Absolutely. Than anything. I think exactly. That causes more anxiety amongst people because people can sense when something is going on. And when you characterize this as it's not a financial crisis and you keep talking about the finances of it, but you don't really talk about the real human aspect of it, that really freaks people out, for lack of a better term, because they don't know what's going on. That is the biggest cause of anxiety with anyone. Tell people straight up. What exactly is going on?
Or as FDR said, fear itself. So, you know, there needs to be that quality of leadership. You're absolutely right.
We have a break to take. We will do and then we will we'll be back in just a few moments. We have Alan Chartok, Ira Fussfeld, Rosemary Armeo, and making her debut today, C.G. Dodds.
We're a new star.
Thrilled to have her on our program. We welcome your letters as well. Panel@WAMC.org, panel@WAMC.org.
If your breath is worth saving, you better start swimming or you're gonna sink like a stone. 'Cause the times, they're changing.
Betty Leavitt, man, things have changed. It's an album of Bob Dylan covers. She is scheduled to play Cafe Lena on the 14th, which I believe would be Saturday night. As with all events in the area and beyond, you should certainly check and see before you go out to make sure that everything is scheduled as...
Yeah, but the big question would be on the album, which I have not heard.
Yeah, you're going to hear a lot of it this morning. But
right, is the cover that she's doing of Dylan 1, 2, 3, 4 or 10? In other words, one of the reasons people hate to go to Dylan concerts is he won't sing the songs that they know with different melodies.
Well, I think she gets to choose the one she wants, so that's good.
You're
for her,
right? Joe.
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah, good stuff. CafeLena.org for more information. And remember, Cafe Lena, spelled with two F's.
And Cedar Park.
Kefa. Yes,
Cedar Park.
Cafe. All right. The Dow is down almost 1,700.
Oh, my goodness.
1,696 as of 9:35 this morning. But we can, isn't it, am I wrong, but that you, we expected, if anything, from the president last night that given his direction that he was going to try to help the economy, he was going to try to calm fears, that was at least the goal of the message, and even that seemed to fail rather spectacularly. But I don't know how you would have expected anything else when you're calling for a ban on travel.
Well, sure, but as I said before, you're looking at the man or the woman, if we finally ever get a woman president, you're looking for some gravitas. You're looking for somebody who you believe you can have confidence in. You're looking for somebody who's recognizing that there's a serious crisis right now, but we're going to get our way through it. And none of us who already have a predisposition about Trump could see that last night. I don't know.
No. No, I agree.
Well, he's such a lying liar that nobody can believe anything that the guy says. As you said before, Ira, that's the whole point.
By the way, I lose track of the conversations, but I wanted to read a headline in today's Washington Post by the media columnist Margaret Sullivan. And her headline today is, Rupert Murdoch could save lives by forcing Fox News to tell the truth about the coronavirus right now.
That was another morning talk show theme, that Fox attracts an elderly audience. And they're the people who are most at risk, most likely to be sitting home during the day watching TV, and they're getting this constant diet. The news is fine, but the constant commentary is like it's a hoax. It's not as bad as you think.
What word can we use in the law? It's not malpractice, and it's not, because it's hard to say anything is malpractice that's in the press. But it's not murder. But somewhere in there, they're going to. People are going to lose their lives as a result.
Well, it's irresponsible, right?
That's as good as any.
We could figure out a way. There's always a way to sue. But I think it also goes just to the general chaotic messaging that we get from this administration. And now I think it's not that the lies were ever okay, right? But now that you can tie them to human lives as opposed to just little pockets of communities, now it infects, now it affects, Freudian slip, it affects the entirety of the United States. So now everybody has a stake in this. And I think a part of him has to be recognizing now that everybody will be impacted by this, the lies are no longer going to be as effective. The gaslighting, the 1984 tactics, the doublespeak, it's just not going to work anymore.
So what can he do? I mean, he wants desperately to be president of the United States again, right? We know he wants to. We know what some of the exigencies are. Hey, as in the old Monopoly game, you go to jail. you could. So what should he have done last night? I don't know.
Well, I think Ira mentioned it. I mean, in the sense of, I don't know about you, Al. I mean, I was looking for someone to be presidential and say, look, here are the problems we have. This is what we need to improve testing. We need to improve. We're worried about the rest of the world. It's not just us. It's a worldwide problem. Instead of calling it, in the first line, calling it a foreign virus and making it sound like it's, again, it's something that's coming from the outside that's attacking us here in this country.
That's what's always worked for him.
I know.
That's how he thinks he got elected president.
Well, and one of my favorite headlines in the last couple of days is in the New York Times of coronavirus is one thing that the president can't tweet away. And I mean, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, right. Coming on the heels of him talking about partisanship should rule last night, and then this morning he was already tweeting against Pelosi.
Yes.
He steps on his own message.
But the question is, will any of that 90% of the Republican Party change their minds? Up to now, right, Rosemary?
Absolutely.
Up to now, they have not. No matter
what. Just great.
Walk right over the cliff. If he tells you to, you walk over the cliff. And we know what this is all about.
And the and especially, I mean, you know, karma is awful sometimes. But you have these Republican lawmakers who are saying it was a hoax, and now they're quarantined, and some people have tested positive that are near them.
Not that we're talking about Gantz or anything, but
Cruz
is still
quarantined.
Yeah. So you wonder to your question, Alan. You just wonder if. You know, that will have some effect where people say, oh, someone that we're aware of has this, and it will affect them in some way.
Well, deeper. You know, in the waning days of my time in newspapers, as the business was starting to go the wrong direction, the readership was skewing older. And so we would sort of morbidly joke each time you pick up the paper and you read the obituary pages that you there go some more of our readers. Now let's push it to Fox News, which, as Rosemary points out, is largely an older demographic. When those people start dropping dead because of this virus, their cousins and brothers-in-law are going to say, wait a minute, Fox News did me bad here. They said there was no problem.
Well, you know, there's another way of looking at that. To be fair, public radio skews a little bit old also. People who are a little bit older tend to listen to WAMC. Now, I know, and I've always had faith, and I think it's already proving out, that as soon as somebody gets a mortgage, they become a news connoisseur. So it's likely that there will be replacements for people who are going. Don't you think, Ira?
Well, sure. Well, it's hard to say now because the media landscape has changed so dramatically. But used to be, you're right. There used to be when the young couple that bought their first house were in an area, all of a sudden they would start subscribing to the newspaper.
So they vote.
Now they're paying off college debt and can't afford a house.
Well, their mothers are.
Tiny houses.
Yeah. Tiny houses. They're renting or getting their mothers to buy it for
But don't
them.
You think if when, not if, when some of the older people.
Are you projecting?
I am.
When some of the older people who are regular Fox News viewers start dropping dead, that their survivors are going to say, wait a minute, Hannity said there was no problem here. And that it will cost not only Fox, but Well,
I think it would take Hannity hacking along up on television.
Hacking up along.
I think there's some credence to your point there. I think it's akin to a leaky roof, right? I think if everyone's like, "Oh, it's okay, everything's fine,"
right.
It's just a little, drop, right? And then all of a sudden, the roof crashes open, and it's this huge emergency. And people hate huge emergencies.
That's true.
And I hate to use a legal analogy, but it's like giving a client a huge legal bill that they're not anticipating, right? All of a sudden, there's this huge emergency, and that is a fundamental way to break down trust between people. If someone has been consistently telling you that everything is fine and then there's an explosion, trust is gone.
Point.
It takes one thing
that's
to completely dismantle trust.
And that's what Trump has done now. Everything will be fine. We have it contained. It'll be down to zero cases next week. And boof.
Yeah.
We should note that just breaking 28 seconds ago, but the stock market has been halted. Stock trading has been halted on Wall Street after a market plunge. The S&P fell over 7%. So we're in the this is the second time this week that that has happened.
It's a 15-minute halt for heads, cooler heads to prevail, is what they say.
Correct. So that is happening. Alan, let's do a letter or two before we take a break.
Dear panel, from Donald's coronavirus. Dear panel, this catastrophe unfolding before us is exactly what we can expect when we send someone to run out. To run our government, who hates government and dismantles it piece by piece, replacing it with a revolving skeleton crew of bank tycoons, crooks, and shady, self-dealing oligarchs. And that's from James.
It's true.
Wow. And then we heard from Frank, who said, Alan, every day this week you've mentioned that Trump called the coronavirus a hoax. This claim doesn't pass the fact check. Oh, you, this guy's Frank's with Ira here.
It's amazing. I can write these emails and be on the show at the same time.
He called politicization of the response a hoax. And considering the California governor's take, he likely has a point. Either way, now that you've been made aware of the fact check, I trust you'll retire the talking point. No. Thank you, Frank, who writes to us almost daily. No, Frank, I will not. He said it's a Democratic hoax, period. End
he
of
said
discussion.
This is the new hoax from the Democrats. He said that at a political rally on February 28th in South Carolina.
Please, Frank, don't give me that. Then we heard from Keith, who said we're all going to die.
Oh.
Panel, Trump will end up bankrupting and killing us all with his gross incompetence. That's it. That's the email, Keith.
Well, we already knew from Rosemary we were doomed, so this is just...
I've been feeling hopeful because of, you know, Biden's miraculous return from the dead. So I've been feeling more hopeful, and I think that we will survive coronavirus. I think it is going to get bad.
It's interesting you say that, because when Bernie was asked about going on with the debate, he said, yes, I'm going to be on the debate with my good friend.
There's rumors that he's going to do the debate and then get out on Thursday. I don't know.
Thursday or Tuesday? Thursday?
It would be the week after the debate, I guess, because that's Sunday.
There's an election on Tuesday.
Oh, I want to talk about that, too, because that was that address was also equally
sore
frustrating.
Loser, terrible. But, you know, as far as coronavirus, we are lucky in a sense that this is a pandemic with a it doesn't have the fatality, the mortality that it could. And so we really are getting a lesson. The next time, and there will be a next time in our global world, do you think we're going to be acting the same way? It's almost, I say this with respect for the 4,400 people who have died so far, but it's almost like a dress rehearsal to a really horrible, deadly Ebola-like outbreak.
And we knew it was coming, Rosemary. I mean, we knew that there was going to be something like this.
We didn't take it seriously.
But if 150 million people get the disease, which is a number that's been bandied about, and the mortality rate is 10%, that's a pretty big number, 15 million
Well,
people.
It is. And as again, I say it, you know, knowing that I'm like, it seems that I'm dismissing thousands of deaths, which I am not, but it could be so much worse. And
it may be.
It could mutate and it could turn into that. But already there's been a change in attitude and in disposition towards believing this. We are seeing a difference in the world's behavior towards
Dow Jones diseases. Is down 21,856.
It is. No, well, it's at 20. It's 20. Yeah, it's down 1696. I think it's still halted.
Where is it? Down?
The top number is.
Yeah, is when it's down.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
You're right. Right, correct.
It'd be really bad if we were. I just
want to. This isn't really bad.
oh, this is really bad, but not really, really, really bad. Here's the quote. I went to factcheck.org. Here was the quote from the president. This was in North Charleston, South Carolina. Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. You know that, right? Coronavirus, they're politicizing it. We did one of the great jobs. You say, how's President Trump doing? They go, oh, not good, not good. They have no clue. They don't have any clue. They can't even count their votes in Iowa. Then the president, who often dismissed special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation as a hoax, continued, they tried the impeachment hoax. That was on a perfect conversation. They tried anything. They tried it over and over. They've been doing it since you got in. It's all turning. They lost. It's all turning. Think of it. And this is their new hoax.
So there it is. This is their new hoax. How many ways can you take
seems...
that?
Seems
Frank.
You remembered his name, Alan. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, C.G. Dodds, and Ira Fussfeld on the program this morning. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. I interrupted Alan as he was mid-letter, so we will go back to those.
Mid-letter. Paul says, Trump speech. Trump had to read and stick to the text. The man doesn't read. Of course he flubbed it. And this, capital letters, shows what a great president we have and why he must go. And that's from Paul in Hudson, one of my favorite cities in the world. I married a Hudson girl, that's why. John says, conspiracy theory. Good morning, friends. If I didn't know better, and I don't know better, I'd entertain the possibility that Trump's European targeted flight ban is designed more to damage the European Union's economy than to protect Americans from the virus. I do know this, however. Putin is smiling, and that's John from Sarasota, Florida. That's great that he's listening down here in the Sunshine State.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then we heard from Scott in Gardner. Dear panel, I have to disagree with Joe's statement that this speech was all economics and not social. This speech had Stephen Miller's fingerprints all over it. We do know that, right? We do know that Miller was involved in
yes.
the writing of the speech.
Yeah, that's right.
One does not even have to read between the lines to take away from Trump's speech that it's those foreigners that brought down
true.
This pandemic upon us. It's the Chinese fault for creating it and the Europeans' fault for not containing it.
Yeah,
and if it weren't for those foreigners who bring disease and cost you jobs, we would not be in this mess. In other words, build that wall, Scott from Gardner.
Scott's right.
Scott is right, but I just to defend myself for just for a moment, but the point of it was not the worry. My point was it wasn't a worry about the American people. It was a worry about the economy.
We got that, Joe. And
I know.
You need no defense, sir.
Okay, and Rosemary, you were going to say?
No, I just was going to congratulate the letter. That is a Stephen Miller anti-immigrant, anti-foreign, any kind of influence.
The foreign
on
virus, that was the first word.
Yeah, that's awful. Wuhan virus, they're calling it.
Yeah.
And then we heard from Tracy, COVID and Trump. Good morning, panel. If Trump continues to appear, he is incompetent and Pence isn't. I am fearful Republicans will push Trump out and run Pence. South Korea has slowed transmission by testing everyone. Well, the Chinese are reporting there were only 46 new cases yesterday. You want to believe that? You can believe it. I don't have the slightest idea whether they're telling us the truth.
I mean, the one that really gets you is just looking at the world map of all of the dots except for Russia.
There's nothing in Russia. Right?
Nothing in Russia. It's very, very scary.
But this business about running Pence. Pence is looking better, I'll tell you that right now, as a result of what he's been doing here.
Yeah, but the president isn't going to allow that.
Well, right? I'm sorry, he
but
won't
the
allow that.
The president's
no.
not going to allow that.
No.
Right.
In fact, if he gets jealous enough, he'll fire Pence. You're fired and bring somebody else in. Jonathan says, Dear panel, read the Trump travel ban.
Yes.
The travel ban was meant as a bold stroke for his base. It was to show a true leader in command. It was also a display of his followers' contempt for the, quote, frogs and their expensive wines and their fancy cheeses. Jonathan from Woodstock.
We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Let's go political for a moment and talk more about the Bernie Sanders address, Senator Sanders. He announced at 11:55 yesterday morning that he was going to have a press conference in Burlington, Vermont at 1 o'clock. Speculation ran rampant.
They ran amok.
That he was going to bow out. And then about 45 minutes later, it started to leak out of the camp that no, he was not going to. He was not going to get out, but he was going to. He was going to address his situation and how he wanted to handle the rest of the campaign. So, what did he say? Well, he said that he didn't directly say I'm still in this, although he did say I'm looking forward to debating the vice president on Sunday in Phoenix before no audience.
Hooray for that.
Yes, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Also, so there's that. And then we also he also said, and here are the questions I want to ask him, which I said out loud to my colleagues in the newsroom. Can't you just send him an email? Like, just call him up and ask us, right? Do we have to keep on going? Or can you just ask those questions? It seemed that seemed odd. And so I heard one pundit on television yesterday say that this was the beginning of Senator Sanders
Swan song.
Entering the off ramp.
No, I think there's no question about it. Unless he beats up Biden on Sunday night and then wins states on Tuesday, he's going to get out. The handwriting is on the wall. So I think he was very smart. He can extend his campaign a week, and he can continue to talk about these issues that are important to him and try to influence Biden and the other Democrats to put him in the platform.
Now,
it's one other point is if you've watched it, and I recommend it. I've watched three parts out of four of the Hillary documentary on Hulu, and it has quite a bit of footage of Hillary versus Bernie the last go around, and the tone difference between Bernie vis-a-vis Hillary and Bernie vis-a-vis Biden is incredible. This was the solicitous Bernie yesterday, who I believe wants to be the team player and who's going to try to drag as many of his followers along.
Now,
that's interesting.
I spoke to the former mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, yesterday, who will be on the program later today.
Wow.
And he said, I said to him, do you see, I again use that term that was from the pundit of is he starting in the off ramp? And he said, look, I thought Tuesday night when he canceled his events that was the beginning, but it seems like we went two steps forward and then four steps back.
So I must have interviewed Bernie 100 times. Must have. I've said that a number of times.
And more
about
times
100
times. Yeah, more times than you've interviewed him.
I've talked to him. He was a regular on Congressional
Court. He was always on.
I had a sense of who the
he's
man is.
He's a big
is.
Talker.
He does, no, he's a good talker, but he does not want to give up what his life stream was.
What was his life dream? To be president or yeah.
to get those policies through?
Well,
Which one is it?
Rosemary asked the question,
yeah.
And I'm entitled.
Yes, you are.
To be president. That's what I think. That's what I think is number one.
Yeah, Ira.
You know, he has these policies that he wants to see move forward.
Yes.
However, because of the tone and tenor of this election season, he has permanently damaged his brand in a way that I think maybe he's just now realizing. He's sort of starting to alienate himself from core constituencies that may have supported him going forward, but because of the way that he's given this liturgy of excuses, right? It's me versus the establishment all of a sudden. You have uninformed black voters all of a sudden. There's an electability debate. So he's continuously alienating potential allies, and now he's trying to walk it back. But I think to a certain extent, it may be too late for that. I think someone else, at least the people may want someone else to carry the torch forward because they have not appreciated the way that this has played out.
Yeah, most That's people will not disagree with many of his policies. At least many Democrats won't. It's obviously the guy who is carrying this that they have some questions with. I think there's a percentage of the Democratic Party, not enough, but a percentage of the Democratic Party who really believe that Bernie is a messiah. But he can't get over that. he can't get over that 30% or 35% that he's got. And that's why he's where he is.
Well, I think
right
Bernie
now.
Thinks he's a messiah. And I see this whole last, he should have gotten out after the last, after Tuesday. And instead, this is one more week to extend his place in the sun, his 15 minutes. He's not going to say anything new in that debate because he hasn't said anything new in 30 years.
But he wants to ask those questions.
He wants to ask the president, why isn't he doing that in private, in an actual discussion,
exactly
a serious discussion with the presumptive nominee about really getting your it's not serious, as is, I would contend, not much of what Bernie has done. He has not cared about implementing his ideas. He has not cared only about articulating them.
So what's he going to say? I mean, what is Bernie going to say? Is he going to say, you voted for this and you voted for that and I'm holding you responsible?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
what he's going to say?
That's what he's there have been, what, 11 debates so far? This is the 12th one. It's either the 11th or the 12th. Has he said anything? Did he surprise you in any of those? Did you ever see a headline saying, wow, a new vision, a new idea from Bernie? No, you have not.
That's Rosemary R. Mayo right
here. Never Sanders.
Yeah. Well, WAMC.org. Yeah, attention, Rosemary.
The difference in this debate is the
we got to go to a break. But go
okay,
ahead.
But it's one-on-one. That he'll have more time, and he wants that exposure for his ideas.
But is it just
he wants that exposure,
no, Kelsey's
period.
Not all right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue. Ray Graff is next with the news right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our Roundtable panel, Alan Chartok, Ira Fussfeld, Rosemary R. Mayo, and C.G. Dodds this morning. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. They've been piling up, so we're going to get to them.
Boy, there are a lot of them. Good morning, panel. Looks like I will now have plenty of time to listen even more to WAMC. As a staff person who interacts directly with students but is not a professor, I expect to be out of work without a paycheck. Find a way to work, but there are so many without my options. Having a few dollars not taken out of a part-time paycheck does not do it either. And that's from Pete in Poughkeepsie, a regular writer. Sam says, the malignant narcissist. I wonder who that is. Let me read the letter. Thank you, panel, for your work, because we have a malignant narcissist in our White House who, by definition, cares nothing about anything or anyone besides himself and his cronies. We need mayors and governors to step up and take assertive action. I love Sterling Heights mayor's statements. Thanks again. So anyway,
that's the Republican mayor who's going against Trump, Sterling Heights.
Oh, well, look,
that's not his name. That's the location.
That's the location. I got that much. Yes. Okay. All right. And then anybody just jump in. Russ, due recognition. Dear panel, you may need to be careful in your discourse, but the general populace need not. So I'm going to be the first to name this the Trump epidemic in honor of the federal government's delay in distributing enough test kits to effectively control the disease spread. The horse is out of the barn. Russ from Menands.
All right.
Trump speech, says Carol Ann. Good morning, dear panel. Was the tone of Trump's speech determined by his opening line? The first words he uttered, I love the word uttered, the first word he uttered congratulated his administration's unprecedented, in quotes, actions never before seen in history. Carol Ann.
Well, there is some honesty to that. It is unprecedented. We've never seen this degree of incompetency in an emergency.
Nor, by the way, CG, have we ever seen this kind of crisis.
Yeah.
This is brand new. Somebody's going to say something about the Spanish flu and all the rest of it, but this is something we've never seen before.
Yeah, and it's the degree to which we are truly a global community at this point. And so I think that contributes to it. And to the writer's point about the opening lines followed by punting all of the responsibility to everybody else as opposed to his lack of a response.
I don't think he has a place to go right now. I think he's in a bad spot. He doesn't have the economy. This thing has really hurt him. It's got to be, I think the end is near. I've thought all along that Biden was going to win this election. But now I think it's getting more and more clear that Trump is in a very bad spot and he will do something desperate as he always does. Okay. So then Richard, following up on what I just said, says, can a president abdicate? We know a president can abdicate. President Nixon abdicated. He got out. Hello, panel. Is it possible for President Trump to abdicate his post? Trump has nothing left to tout. The stock market is in freefall like never before. We are in the beginning of one of the most serious health crises in years. Trump loves winning, and right now he is losing, and his faults are becoming obvious. He has a calm, cool, and ultra-conservative VP, and perhaps he'd like to assign the whole presidency over to him.
Dream on.
I'm going to say never, ever, ever. Never.
I couldn't
Which
see
part?
That,
that he wouldn't do that?
He won't do
no,
that.
No, but I still, I was talking to Alan in his office before, and my prediction at the beginning of Trump's term was that he would not fill out the entire term, and I've still got 6 months for it to be right about that. and the virus may be a cause of that, whether it's externally or internally.
What do you mean externally or internally? In other words, he gets the virus.
Whether he gets the virus, but whether or not he does. If it goes the way it's going now, whether there'll be, he may just throw up his hands.
You know, I hate to read the tea leaves, but the other day when he was talking to the press, unusually, and talking to the press, there was a major question hanging over everybody. Mr. President, have you been tested?
Yeah.
And the White House let out the word. He has not been tested, but we know from his health disclosures in the past, he doesn't tell the truth about that either. So it may well be that some enterprising journalists are going to find out the truth of this.
Well, he's older than I am, and he's heavier than I am, and I can't say that about a lot of people. And he does not look like he is in good shape. And the virus will spare nobody. And he's out there been doing a lot of shaking hands, and so it's I wouldn't wish it on even on him, but it's certainly not unheard of that he might get it.
The last few days, and I'll just not to foster conspiracy theories, but there has been some fairly deep reporting in the Washington Post, and I think HuffPost did a big piece on it yesterday about the visit that he made to the hospital in November. Have you heard about that? About
that?
Oh,
no.
Oh yeah, no,
I
know that.
I've been looking for that too, because I've been suspicious, as you know, since it happened.
In
the middle of the night,
right? They never explained it.
They never explained it, and there's a lot of that protocol would say that you would take the helicopter because Walter Reed has a helipad, and they didn't. They went. Actually, it was during the day, I believe. It was during the afternoon.
And they shut
the roads down. They didn't do that. There's all these things, and it was really interesting, but it's starting to come to light again, and that they're still very much working on that, continuing on that story, which I think is interesting. Again, I just bring it up in regards to our conversation about his health.
Yeah, good point. I want to apologize for saying in the middle of the night. I really
no. I'm just saying. I think it was weird because what they said is that normally the protocol would say that they would just shut down the entire street.
Sure.
And because this happened, they didn't, and that was very, very unusual. And there's no real. Normally, they would communicate with DC police and so forth to make the path clear, mm-hmm. and they didn't do that. So.
Jay says, on the subject of fear and no transparency, I know my family is nervous about the pandemic. For the simple fact that we see other people around us being nervous and buying out silly things like toilet paper, a little more info and direction would be nice. Keep up the great work. Love you all.
There
Jay
is nothing silly about toilet paper. It is a horrible thing to be without.
Well, it is, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Uh-oh. What is the substitute?
Newspapers. In Australia, papers are printing like 8 extra pages as a public service so that you can use them if necessary.
But everybody's been joking about this, including me. Why toilet paper, of all the things that people would be fearing without? And if in fact it's selling out, there's no shortage of it. They'll have another delivery tomorrow.
I think it's the same way during storms, too. They sell out batteries.
Different because you might not be able to get to the stores.
Yeah.
So I went in.
There's a worry that, I'm sorry, isn't there a worry that the stores would shut down? That's why I have an entire bathroom that has a wall of toilet paper.
Really?
But even in Italy, the stores are open.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Well, the other thing that's happening.
I worry about that.
And this is apparently they have to guard hospitals now because people are going in and just walking as if they're visitors, which is harder now, but as of earlier
taking
in the
mask.
Week. Taking masks, taking gloves, Purell, yeah. taking gloves. Yeah. But same thing in supermarkets and other places where they have the Purell stations. People are just taking things and taking the dispensers out and packing
yeah.
up all the toilet paper. So the aides will go into the service people will go into the bathrooms to replenish the toilet paper, and it's all gone. The 12
Crazy.
Ones, these big things are all gone. So that's another issue,
well,
too.
Well, we on the board of WAMC were here for a meeting the other day, and there were two or three bottles of Purell on the board table. And my partner to the right and I said, should we steal these bottles? But we thought better of it.
And aren't you the problem? There you go. We put a face on it. All right, here we go.
Brandon says, COVID-19, et cetera. Look at all the pandemics throughout the years, COVID-19, SARS, swine flu, bird flu, et cetera, and it's all from humans consuming animals. If we lived in a vegan world, none of these disasters would affect us. And that's Brandon from Canada.
And if we lived in a vegan world, humans wouldn't have brains as big as they are. This is a whole biological thing. I applaud you for not eating animals. It helps save the planet, but not everyone should do it. It is not for everyone. Responsible meat eating is fine.
That's Rosemary, WAMC.
Daughter of a butcher.
All that toilet
daughter of a butcher.
That's why I have all that toilet paper. There you go.
And Mike says, swine flu in red states. Good morning, panel. And there's a question mark there, so I'm reading it the way it's written. Good
okay.
morning, panel.
Mm-hmm.
Oi. Nicholas Kristof wrote in March 7th in New York Times that Harvard researchers found more deaths due to swine flu because they believe right-wing zealots like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, who said the swine flu was a hoax and they were not getting vaccinated. I guess they have not learned any lessons. Mike in Saratoga Springs.
No.
And Heidi says, Corona blame. I think you're missing the mark on who the Fox listeners will blame. I think Trump is laying the groundwork by referring to it as a foreign virus, and this will be twisted into another reason for white nationalism, Heidi. And then we heard from Sonia, who says, panel, I've listened to you talk about the importance of health of a potential presidential candidate for months. Why all of a sudden is questioning the cognitive abilities of a candidate out of bounds? I'm far more worried about that than an unpredictable heart attack. Biden and Sanders should both just take a cognitive test and quell these rumors. What do you think? I think, Sonia, that I found you out. I think that you've been writing on regular basis about Bernie and, you know.
So, yeah, Sonia's so. Definitely a Bernie supporter, but that idea is not a bad one.
Absolutely.
I think the mental and physical health of candidates and of existing leaders is of utmost importance, and we should have tests for it. I think that, and disclosure of medical records, full medical records, ought to be a law, not a tradition.
Thank you, Rosemary. Dave says, Fox. Dear panel, thanks for all you do. My Fox relatives were posting Fox stories that is all fine and just about your life as recently as yesterday. The disservice can exacerbate the situation for all of us. Thank you, Dave from Clifton Park. And thank you to Maria, who says, dear panel, have you realized that Trump's travel ban sidesteps his own European resorts?
Yes.
Yes.
Wrong.
Yeah.
The new European travel restrictions have a convenient side effect. They exempt nations. Okay, well, then you got it right. They exempt nations where three Trump-owned golf course resorts are located. Nicely done once again, and that's from, once again, Donnie. Sincerely, Maria. Donnie?
Got it.
Oh, Donnie Trump. I got it.
Did okay. you find it interesting that the Ron Johnson has stopped his effort to issue subpoenas and an investigation of Hunter Biden?
Has he stopped?
He suspended indefinitely. Is that an effort to be bipartisan and to work together, or is there something more nefarious?
Well, you got a bunch of Democrats on that committee, of course, everybody does, but you also have Republicans, at least two major Republicans, who are saying nothing doing. We don't want to subscribe to this.
Well, plus that opens the door for the Democrats to subpoena the Trump Jr. and
Ivanka.
Eric and Ivanka.
Well, Bill in Gilderland writes, Trump knows that he's going to jail if he loses the election. I'm not so sure of that. We could discuss that.
Sure.
The coronavirus will have a greater negative impact in heavier population areas like cities where the majority of the citizens vote Democratic versus sparse population areas where the majority of citizens vote Republican. What a great way to suppress the Democratic vote to ensure his reelection. So let it go and become president for life like his friend Putin, Bill in Gilderland. And his title here is Trump's Thinking on How We Can Use the Coronavirus.
Okay.
Thank you.
Got it.
I thought somebody might say something. Sue, SUNY and CUNY, can you please address the distance learning order for the remainder of the semester at all SUNY and CUNY campuses? What is the opinions of Alan and Rosemary about the impact this will have to students and the financial effect this may have on the statewide university system? You first, Rosemary.
Okay. Well, students, I think they definitely suffer when they go to online learning. It is not for every student. It requires a great deal of independent work, and that's not many students at the freshman and sophomore level. Maybe you disagree and see something different at the law school. I think a lot of courses can be, and I have taught them online, the beginning, the survey courses, yes, do it online. But you're talking about writing and thinking courses where discussion and interaction, that's the whole point of it. And it's much harder to do. I understand there's technology. I'm not behind on that. But to plan an online course, you set up a whole different syllabus. Sure. You arrange it. That's not being done. In a week now, we're going to switch from an in-person class to an online. It's disjointed. It's definitely a loss. However, you know, better people than I am have figured out that this is necessary for health reasons. And so we'll make the best of it.
I agree with every word you say.
As for the money, my students are convinced that money that they're paying in, you know, that will not be going for their
room and
living
board.
In dorms and eating, will be shunted to other parts of the state system. In my case, I work
well,
at SUNY.
Well, I know for the class that I teach at the law school, Introduction to Lawyering, this semester we work on appellate advocacy. Yes. So there's an oral argument that goes on this semester, and we have judges there for the students, and how exactly do you do that? So it's posing a real problem. And because of the way that our course is set up, if you think about the terminology, lawyering, that's in real time. To lawyer, right, you're engaged in constant conversation and critical thinking skills, and that is very difficult to do online. We can present information online, but as far as actually critically engaging with the material, that part is difficult.
There's one other element. The online courses that I've taught are strictly limited to 19 students because the interaction is so intensive on both the professor's part and the students. I have 27 in the class. It's now going to switch to online. That's, you know,
how is that going to work?
Well, it means a lot more of my time, and there are students, you know, who are not doing the work. And in person, I reach out to them. I see them twice a week. I grab them by the scruff of the neck, find out what's going on. How do I do that online? It's just a lot less effective.
I told you not to resign that professorship.
Well, you still would have had to deal with that, right?
Well, yeah, but you've been getting paid a lot.
Oh, yeah, I get paid more.
And is there any indication that students who are leaving early will not be recompensed for room and board, that the underclassmen would get a credit for next year and the seniors
would? It has not been brought up.
It has not been brought up, and I can tell you that my students do not expect it. They laughed at the idea.
I smell a lawsuit.
Anybody can sue.
All you lawyers out there, find you some students.
And a class action going, no pun intended.
Lynn says, travel ban. Lynn says, travel ban. I'm cynical enough to believe that the exclusion of Britain in the travel ban is related to the location of Trump's golf courses. You are not the first to say that today among the letter writers. Okay, and then we heard from Linda in Hurley. Have there been any reports of the coronavirus in Russia? If not, why not? We mentioned that earlier.
I believe I heard 17, but everybody seems to think that that's an understated number, that they had to put up something.
You think Putin would lie?
I don't know. I think I trust him more than Trump.
He's not testing either.
Well,
wouldn't we know if they were testing? Who would have a record of that? And so if you don't test, you don't have high numbers.
What are they calling the KGB these days?
So let's
high panel. Has Trump been tested for COVID-19 yet? That's a big mystery, folks. We don't know. Thanks for the discussion, as always. Gene from Long Island.
According to the Moscow Times, as of this morning, 22 minutes ago, there are now 28 cases of coronavirus in Russia.
Mm-hmm. And Mark says, influenza pandemic? If COVID-19 is a pandemic, why is influenza not a pandemic every year? Mark from Ellenville.
Well, I think it's the rate of spreading, right? Isn't that?
I'm afraid to say because I'm not an expert on it. I do think there's a distinction of it being literally spreading around the globe.
Around the world.
Right, around the world.
Going, and the rate of that speed. Yeah. Yes.
Robert said, esteemed panel. The presidential address last night only deepened the uncertainty we are all feeling about our country's response to the coronavirus. The news that Jared and Stephen Miller are coordinating with Trump scares me even more. We are better off having the Three Stooges in charge, Robert.
Secretary of Defense, Mo.
Mo, right.
And we've heard from Stephen from Mo. Garrison. Coronavirus travel ethics. Can you discuss the ethics of flying domestically? I have 3 flights scheduled in 2 weeks, and though I am not worried about personally being infected, I am young and healthy, it breaks my heart to think of transmitting to more vulnerable populations at my destination, Stephen in Garrison, New York. My recommendation is don't go.
He's young and healthy. There's no recommendation that people who are not in the high-risk group stop traveling.
But he's worried
that he'll spread it.
That he'll spread it. So, which, I mean, is
there... Isn't that the point of a mask, that you will, if you have anything, you won't spread
you
it
get
to
one.
Others? Talk to me later, Ellen. I have a line on some.
Oh. Okay, how much will it
toilet paper?
It's in behind the toilet paper.
How much will it set me back? Jim says, Sanders, I believe you are correct regarding Sanders going to the debate and then closing his campaign. Regarding his stated key questions he will be asking of Biden, clearly this was done to give Joe Biden time to formulate his responses. He's trying to make him look good. Sanders is trying to give Biden an opportunity. Let the camera record that Rosemary is making a face.
I'm touching my face.
Yes, you
my
are.
My hand is my my head is in my hands.
Sanders is trying to give Biden an opportunity to craft his responses in
yeah,
a way.
His, here, will you? Purell up. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Alan.
You're all right. Sanders is trying to give Biden an opportunity to craft his responses in a way his supporters can more easily support Joe. And please, Rosemary, can you tone down the exasperated negative comments towards Sanders? It really makes it really difficult for this fellow liberal to get through the round table. Jim,
I'm sorry.
You don't sound like a fan.
Well, if it'll make him feel any better, I've been saying all along that Bernie is too old, and if I think Bernie is too old, I think Biden is too old.
And
so.
I agree with that. You think I'm too old.
Yes, but you're not running. You're running a successful radio station, not a big country.
Well, I got other issues with Bernie, so.
Well,
but I have
a
kindred
spirit.
Tell us.
Yeah, come on.
I just
do it in a nice voice, though. Don't be over the top, because you'll offend the readers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He's been in his position for such a long time. It's almost as though someone saying, I want to be the CEO of the company, but I can't organize the company picnic, right? And so there's just an inherent lack of, he doesn't inspire confidence with me. He doesn't inspire confidence. I love his ideas. But again, I feel like the way that he presents those ideas in an all-or-nothing sort of proposition, either you agree with me, and if you don't, then you're an idiot and you like capitalism, that is very alienating to me. And I think he doesn't give enough credit where credit is due. I think his the way that he presents the Democratic establishment, it's almost as though he's constantly saying it's not me, it's them. But if everybody has a problem with you, maybe it's you.
Oh, she's a keeper.
And I just think that likability does matter,
yeah,
right? You know, we walk around. A lot of people are pretty not self-aware when it comes to this. Oh, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care. People can have their opinions. But at the end of the day, when you're in government and you're trying to get things done, people have to like you, or they at least have to respect you enough to garner some sort of another form of likability, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't do that.
Right. If he were going to be magnanimous to a candidate, why not Elizabeth Warren?
All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll continue on with that right after this.
I could be learning. You could be yearning.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. 34 minutes past 10 o'clock. We have letters. We'll do those. We have about 15 minutes left.
COVID-19, says Mike from Williamsburg. Good morning. I've been monitoring the Canadian Ministry of Health to get my COVID-19 related information since early February. I didn't think I would get any valuable information from the U.S. government, and so far, I think I was right. Also, a big thank you to Governor Cuomo for his efforts to inform us and manage the crisis. Regards, Mike from Williamsburg, Massachusetts. And Judy says, debate. I'm sorry to say, but Biden does need to show our party that he can speak longer than 2 minutes at a time. Should we find out later that he can't? Anybody?
We didn't. Well, okay. I mean, we should know all of their abilities and not, but yeah, I think people are pretty aware of Biden's weaknesses.
I've been watching Biden. I think he's fine. Yeah. I think he's a very good
speaker.
Well,
he really did come alive at the beginning of the campaign. Yeah. He was I hate to say sleepy, but he just didn't seem like he was into it, but not recently.
Well, winning can help that.
Yeah, winning helps.
I mean,
it.
You know, and sure. But the last couple of weeks, he's been on fire.
Turned around.
And you see the videos that he puts out and that he's talking to people. They're very effective. And now with a virtual campaigning, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think it really plays to his strength.
It does, because he can prepare more.
Yeah.
I hope he's taking Prevagen or something. He makes errors, gaffes. He's done that all of his life, even when he was a young man. What's that?
I do it every day here. Yeah.
Yeah, we all do. If you speak on radio, you're going to make. If you just speak in life.
I thought you meant taking Prevagen.
Yeah, that's what I did too. That's what I asked.
I've never taken it, although maybe I should.
Does it work? Have you asked that on Medical
Corner?
Well, the question is,
does it also help you from peeing at night too much?
Oh,
what is it supposed to
do? Too much information.
What is it? I'm not
It's supposed to increase memory and give you clear thinking. Prevagen. There's a whole bunch of them out on the market now.
I probably
knew that. But he is not senile. I don't worry about him in the way I do about Trump, who just confuses words and slurs speech, and it's
well, he's
just
also not
different.
As intelligent as Biden.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, last on Sunday, I got into the car and the door opened, and I started to talk to my wife, who I was working and getting, you know, the bags. You have to bring bags to the grocery store now.
Yeah,
and
no,
she was
I
putting
remember.
The bags in the back and doing all that kind of stuff. And I started talking to her about something I was hearing on the radio, and she wasn't responding to me, which isn't unusual. But I thought, you know, all right, that's interesting.
Turned out I think I know the end. You were talking to the President of the United States.
I was talking to the dog.
Oh.
Like, I didn't know. Like, I just, like, turned around, and I was like, oh, you're not my wife. And it's just like everybody. So,
that's worse than confusing wife and sister,
Well, that's
Joe.
It. Well, that's what I mean. It's just like that. Those kind of things happen. Like, I just saw a
hilarious
shadow figure out of the corner of my eye. I started to talk.
But you're not followed by Hannity. I mean,
Kelly can drool occasionally. I don't know.
But in today's climate, the right wing media take a little gaffe like that and then they play it over and over.
No, I know.
And, over
and
over
I just,
and
but I thought that's so common. I mean, who hasn't done something like that? And
no,
I
good
just.
Point.
Yeah. I don't know. And comparing it to the president the other night, I mean, last night, it just seemed that he was having difficulty, which I think is much different than senility.
Right.
But anyway, letters.
Okay, and here,
and
the letters,
we get
the
even
letters,
more.
The letters keep coming one way or the other, or t'other, as we say. A fairy says, travel ban confusion. Good morning. I'm confused by Trump's edict on travel ban with regard to excluding United Kingdom from entering the U.S. Are they not experiencing the coronavirus? Then, too, if Americans are free to travel back and forth, how is that not a danger? Nothing to stop Americans from traveling to any of these countries that are banned from coming here. And then bringing the virus back. Understandably, we don't want to see any of these restrictions within the travel industry, but I see holes throughout the plan. Best to all, and thanks for your discussions. Fern from Glenford.
She's absolutely right.
Yeah, well.
There are inconsistencies in that plan.
Rosemary, you just see them gathered around the table figuring, if we say this, then who will get mad at us? And what should we do? So we can say all's off for American citizens,
right,
but not for those Brits.
I wondered if Trump had holes in his speech, or if they never realized that people would be asking questions about, cargo or American citizens, and they figured it out later, which is what they did with the Muslim travel ban. Remember the first three iterations of that before it went at pass muster?
They also said the 460 cases of coronavirus in the UK, which is what half of what we have reported. And and obviously a much smaller population. So to exempt them seems odd, and that doesn't include Ireland's numbers. I forgot what else this goes.
One of the headlines on CNN before said
all
that the European officials were blindsided by Trump. They didn't know this was coming.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That was the other thing that they said. Right. You said holes in the speech. And apparently in the creation of the speech, there were chunks that there were some that they were going to take out, put in of things that he was going to say. And finally, it was basically, I'm going to pick this, this, and this. And they put it together. And that's what went in the teleprompter.
Hmm. Okay, thanks, Joe. This letter comes with the title "Rosemary."
Mm-mm. Must be a Sanders supporter.
Or a recipe.
Dear, I think so. Dear panel, so tired of Rosemary's hatred towards Bernie. Now more than ever, Now more than ever, we need Medicare for all. Good old Joe said he would veto. Looks like we are in for the same old government working for 1%, and from Livingston Manor.
I actually am a supporter of Medicare for All.
Yes, I know you are.
I like Bernie's ideas. It's Bernie I don't like. I do not hate him. Yeah. I hate Trump, but I do not hate Bernie. Yeah. I just think he needs to get out of the way. However, the American people, Democrats at least, have said clearly they do not support that right now. They want what Joe Biden has promised, which is Obamacare on steroids. Bring it back, improve it, you know, protect it against Supreme Court incursions, and make it work.
Okay, and we heard from Niles, who said, good morning, panel. Rosemary, what exactly has Biden brought to the debates? At least Bernie has some original ideas. He may be getting repetitive, but I couldn't even tell you what Biden wants to do. Just a lot of status quo from him. Niles from New Paltz.
And that's it. People, Bernie supporters are saying, oh, that's bad. He would just bring back the status quo. That's what we want. And they keep saying, oh, we don't need another Warren Harding. Oh, we have never needed a Harding as much as we do right now. Well, we need to go back to the way it was.
No, well, I got to tell you, I think there are centrist Democratic principles at stake here. And I think Biden knows that. When he says, Obamacare on steroids, he knows what he's talking about. Look at what the American people have gotten out of that program. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if it's nothing. It's something very substantial.
The other thing is climate, that he does not have the program of Elizabeth Warren, for example, or even a Bernie Sanders. But Joe Biden is not a Trump. He will put actually competent, ethical people in place. And
scientists,
he to
maybe?
Them. Scientists.
And we'll go back to the Paris Accord.
He has said on
sure.
day one.
Yes. Yeah.
So come on.
By the way, quick, Tom Rivett Carnac, who is one of the two architects of the Paris Climate Agreement.
Carnac?
Tom Rivett Carnac. Yes, Alan.
See you.
He'll be with us at 11 o'clock.
Oh, great.
Yeah. He has a lot to say.
What do you think is in the envelope? Mark says laughable. Your demolition. Some people are looking puzzled.
Shish, what boom, ba.
You may remember Carnac as Johnny Carson.
Oh. You took the card up and he goes, shish, boom, ba. And then he opened the thing and he'd say, the sound a sheep makes when a sheep explodes.
Yeah. The Carson channel's back on XM radio.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, 105.
Mark says, laughable. Your demonization of Bernie for only wanting to express his ideas for more ethical government is a distraction and a weakly veiled disguise for a lack of conviction that Biden has a chance of beating Trump. Mark from Amherst.
I didn't understand that one. What would they say?
Well, what he's saying is that...
Your demonization, okay, Bernie. Okay, got it.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Greg says, Bernie Biden. To Rosemary's comments, what is Biden's list of new ideas? He's not breaking new grounds either. If the delegate count was flipped, the panel would be talking about how Biden needs to keep fighting. We don't think Bernie is a messiah. We just believe in the ideals of FDR. I can't afford to wait another 40 years for the real change. I'll be dead. Greg in Albany.
If all the Bernie people who are writing these letters could gather all of their friends, Bernie would have more votes than me.
Go vote. Yeah, stop. You can talk about me. I'm just one little voice in a regional radio station. It's across the nation for not just this term, but the last election, Democrats did not support him, much less the entire country.
And Maureen
That's the bottom
says,
line.
And Maureen says, Bernie, panel, please do not forget that this candidate has energized young voters and has built a grassroots campaign larger than most. This is exactly what the Democratic machine just cannot get, nor apparently can many of you, Maureen. Want to take that one, Rosemary, about the turnout among younger people?
Well, I mean, I do think he has energized them, but it's not in a way that promotes the Democratic experiment. They are energized to, I don't even know what, not even support him because they didn't come out and vote for him. They go to the rallies and they cheer his ideas, which are great ideas. But now he needs to take a different role, and that is as a statesman and work within the party to get his ideas enforced.
CG, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, young people.
I think that goes to his back to the CEO analogy. There's the ideas person, but then there's also the implementation person, right? You can energize a certain population, but if you cannot organize them in an effective way, right, that actually helps you, that gets them out to actually vote, it's not very helpful. And I think that there's someone else who maybe has the capacity to do that. And I think that there's also an overstatement. I mean, the numbers don't lie, but there's an overstatement as to the quote-unquote younger people who support him, because I know a large number of, and this is just purely anecdotal, who don't support him. I'm not entirely young, but I'm still in my 30s, and I don't
That's
support
young.
Him for a lot of reasons. And I think I've clearly stated some of those reasons. And as an African-American, and I certainly don't speak for all African-Americans, I have a fundamental problem with his position. He states that he wants economic justice for all, yet when you ask him about reparations, he gets cagey, he gets weird, he doesn't support it. And so on a very fundamental bottom line level, it's difficult for me to take his workers' rights, his economic justice messaging, whereas African-Americans are, quite frankly, some of the only people in modern history who've gone through certain things and have not been compensated for their losses. And so that is a big part of the reason why I have a problem with Bernie, because I think that he is disingenuous in his message. And I think people are seeing holes in his messaging. And instead of him actually applying correction and thinking critically through those things, it's everybody else's problem and not his.
Okay, so point. Give her name out so the letters come to her.
I'll take some of the heat off of you, Rosemary.
And your tires can be slashed too.
Susan says, Rosemary, I think that
I
think that the hope is not that Bernie will say anything new, just that we hope that Joe will start to say some things new and sharper than his statements have been in the past. I applaud Bernie for being such a mensch.
All right, we have to end there. Is there any more of that letter?
Yeah, there is. And for now, being an educator for the nation and prod to Joe, it could make a difference between Joe winning and losing. Susan from Rotterdam.
Thanks to all. We'll be right back.